Good morning. Welcome to Laurel Heights and welcome to a new month with us. This year, the first Sunday of each month, we have a theme we are delivering from God's Word. We call this, Who Will Follow Jesus? There is a call to leave selfish living and sin and follow Jesus Christ. For instance, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, there are many in this audience who have responded to this invitation. And your intention is to continue to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You heard God's word. You were convicted of your sin. Believing in Jesus Christ, you repented and you were baptized to live the rest of your life following Jesus. We are anxious to commend you for that choice and to encourage you from God's Word to persevere, to grow, to excel in all of your daily discipleship. For Christians, as well as those who have not yet made that choice, there is this question. Why follow Jesus? That He calls upon us to follow Him is evident all through the New Testament. But the call to follow Jesus should be associated with reasons that justify that decision. May I say that again? The call to follow Jesus should always be associated with the reasons that justify that decision. I want to review some of those with you today. And my approach will be the call to follow Jesus is, first of all, the call of duty. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 and 14. One way to study this Old Testament book is to observe what Solomon says life is not about. It is not about the acquisition of human wisdom. It is not about fame or fortune. It is not about fleshly indulgence. It isn't about the praise and the acclaim of your peers. It's not about points or winning arguments or sweet revenge. Here is what it's all about. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or bad. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 starts with that familiar and urgent imperative. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The implication is, respect your Creator early in life and continue to respect Him and live as He directs the rest of your life, because it is what life is all about. And you will answer Him someday. Each one of us, it says here, God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or bad. Now, following Christ is not directly mentioned in the Ecclesiastes passage. But God, the Creator, said in Matthew 17, verse 5, about Jesus Christ, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him." God says, "Listen to my Son. Do what He says." So, when I make the choice to become a follower of Christ, I'm doing what Solomon said that life is all about, fearing God and keeping His commandments, through the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look at this, please, in terms of a sense of duty. When you watch basketball, or I guess today it would be football, you admire players who are loyal to the team and who exhibit a sense of duty toward the team culture. Perhaps also at your workplace, you really appreciate the sense of duty you see in your coworkers. In families, in schools, and in community organizations, there is this strong trait that we value and we admire it and we observe it quickly in others, a sense of duty. Well, let's understand this morning, there is no higher sense of duty than what man owes to his Creator, who made us and who blesses us with our existence on earth. Luke 12:36 says, "To whom much is given, much is expected." God gave you life and He gives you breath, and blessings are available for all of us to receive from Him that will take us to Him in heaven. Shouldn't it be natural for us to acknowledge our sense of duty to God and be about that duty every single day in all that we do? Fulfilling that duty is our highest level of responsibility in life. By coming to Christ and following Him, we're doing duty toward God, who will follow Jesus. The call to follow Jesus is the call to be forgiven. See, when you look at Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, one of your first thoughts is, I've not kept His commandments. I'm deficient. In fact, I'm a sinner. Even knowing the debt I owe to God, I'm also aware that I cannot fully pay it. When I acknowledge the sense of duty I have to the Creator, almost at the same time I acknowledge that duty, I realize I've not done well in that. Would you open with me, please, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. You will see in the first epistle of John an emphasis on who Jesus is and what He did. But it isn't like an academic lecture. There was a very real crisis underway. There were deceivers who were spreading heresy about the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Apostle John must respond. And any discussion of who Jesus is and what He did includes what He died for us to have. The forgiveness of sin God offers through Christ. We are now at 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. A few verses before this, John said to Christians, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The fact I face and you face is, we have not been perfect in our obedience to God. We've done wrong. We've entertained an evil thought. We've been negligent in a duty. We've left things undone. Sinners need forgiveness, and God provides that in Christ. So the call to follow Jesus Christ initially has this very powerful motive. There is no other way I can remove the guilt of my sin. There is no other way. No other way to be righteous with God. Animal sacrifices are over. Denominational affiliation offers no atonement. As to my power to turn my life around on my own, I have to admit I am bankrupt. Nothing to offer for my previous sins. If you want a life without the burden of guilt and condemnation, follow Jesus. Start following Him and then continue to follow Him. Who will follow Jesus? Those who know they've done wrong and want to be right with God. Be ready with me in Colossians chapter 3. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, we will discover the call to follow Jesus is the call to lift your mind to the highest things and therefore defeat and kill the lowest things. Can I say that again? And I'll read the text. The call to follow Jesus is the call to lift your mind to the highest things and therefore be able to defeat, to kill the lowest things. Listen to Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. All our behavior, words, deeds, reactions, thoughts, everything, all our behavior originates in the mind. Get your mind straight, clean, pure, and aligned with the Creator, and behavior issues can be managed. They can be managed only when you follow Christ and get your mind where it ought to be, directed to the highest things. In following Jesus, your mind is purified. It is elevated. You are able as a disciple of Christ to get your mind where it should be and therefore get your life where it should be. Set your mind on the things above. An earthly, worldly mind is subject to compromise, indifference, intrusion, rebellion, evil desire. Here in Colossians 3, would you look with me beyond the verses we read? Now we're down at verses 5 through 9, please. Colossians 3, 5 through 9. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with its practices. I want you to focus for just a moment on the first phrase in verse 5, put to death therefore what is earthly in you. And the list follows. Have you ever had an encounter with a deadly snake? I've had two such encounters. Number one, in Army basic training, when I jumped into a foxhole, looked down, and behold, there was another occupant. Now, my thinking is pretty clear about such things. If a Georgia coral snake wants that foxhole, I suddenly become a very generous man. He can have it. I'll find another. A firing range sergeant came along and he said that was my foxhole. And so he pulled his sidearm and he executed the snake with a .45 caliber. Second experience with a deadly snake. Some of you have heard this one. My wife and I were driving across Oklahoma late one night when a cottonmouth water moccasin made his presence known on the dashboard of the car. Now, Paula has her own version of this story. But she doesn't get to preach. Some other time you can listen to her version. But in both of these incidents, just hurting the snake was not my purpose. I had no idea that I would slap the snake around and hurt him a little bit. I wanted those snakes dead quickly. Now my point. I'm afraid there are people who really don't want to kill sin. They just want to slap it around a little. They don't want to mortify it. They want to pacify it. They want to keep it close, but not obvious. They want to send sin away, but just temporarily, not forever. They want to keep it within reach. Paul speaks in these terms, put to death what is earthly in you. You can be forgiven of sin. You can, by His power in you, put sin away. You can execute it. You can mortify it. When you give your mind and your life to Christ, you are empowered to execute sin, to mortify it. By following Christ, you can clear your mind and lift your mind to such a high spiritual plane, you're able to execute that which is lowly and earthly and deadly. Who will follow Jesus? Those who seek to live with a pure mind. 1 Peter chapter 1 will take us to the conclusion of our study. 1 Peter chapter 1. The call to follow Jesus is the call to heaven. Listen, please, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The literary giant Oscar Wilde wrote the Ballad of Reading Gaol, describing the thoughts and manner of prisoners in a turn of the century British prison. In the lengthy poetic form that Wilde published, it spoke of the despair of those prisoners who were awaiting death. And Wilde put that into poetic form with these words: we did not dare to breathe a prayer or to give our anguish scope. Something was dead in each of us, and what was dead was hope. Contrary to that, Peter said to Christians, those who have been born again have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He arose. His people will be raised to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Now who will follow Jesus? People who want to go to heaven. The question is, do you? If your answer is yes, I want to go to heaven, once that is settled in your mind, there are other questions to be addressed. Have you obeyed the gospel? And if you have, are you living day by day as a Christian? To obey the gospel, you engage in obedience as directed by the apostles. Written in the New Testament, hearing of Christ, confessing your faith, your response is to repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38. And then after baptism and until you die, set your mind on things above, where Christ is at the right hand of God, and therefore you're able to mortify the lowly things and conduct yourself as a disciple of Christ every day. God says, the disciples of Christ, by grace, will be accepted into heaven to be there forever. Who will follow Jesus? Let's be standing as we sing.